Well, as Syria has come off the front page, what's come onto the front page is the continued escalation of conflict, or at least tension, in Ukraine. And speaking of superpowers here, we've got kind of a regeneration of East versus West. We've talked about that before on this show. But this really does seem to be escalating, some tit for tat. The Russians are now running war games on near the border, some military maneuvers on the border. The Germans are starting to get a little nervous. You know, everybody's trying to think about what Russia's calculation could possibly be here, given the long-term political and economic consequences of this. But we need to remember how important Crimea is to Russia. And particularly that port, the Sevastopol port. I mean, this historically, this is the concern. So what are we to expect from Russia? I mean, it's not just about power and access to the base and that sort of thing today. There's much more to this story.
There's
right?
history. There's nationalism. Catherine the Great, in 1770s, sent Potemkin, her lover and general, down to take the Crimea and the areas around the North Black Sea, which he did. And he developed them. She took an incredible tour down there, bringing hundreds of courtiers with her and toured the whole place. It is Russian history. During the Second World War, the Nazis occupied Crimea. Their 6-7% of the population were Germans, Crimean Germans. All of them got ethnically cleansed by the end of the war. But they, when the Nazis occupied it, the Jews, who were a big component, got ethnically cleansed. This has been at the center of Russian fighting, Russian identity. The Black Sea fleet is built around Crimea. And Crimea only went out of Russian hands in 1956 when Khrushchev gave it to Ukraine, which of course at the time was part of the Soviet Union. So he was in a sense giving from one hand to the next hand. Now that Ukraine has decided to leave Russia's orbit and move into Europe's orbit, Russia has sort of reached in and tried to grab this one hunk of Ukraine that is a majority Russian in ethnicity, is such a long part of Russian history. I don't want to make any apologies for Russia and what Russia's doing, but it looks like both sides are trying to save some face in this because it looks like Russia's going to stick, is going to hang on to this.
Well, it doesn't seem like they're going to give up very easily for all the reasons that you just said. And so that now they've got a referendum coming on Sunday in Crimea about secession. And it's really just going to be interesting to watch how that plays out. So I'm sure we'll return to that next week and in the coming days. I mean, clearly, just these two issues alone, you know, the United States and others around the global community are facing these large and even larger diplomatic challenges. And it's just fascinating to watch whether, you know, diplomacy at the end of the day will win the day. As President Obama reminded us in a recent State of the Union address, diplomacy wins. And yet we see diplomacy really struggling in these two cases of Syria.
And we don't want to get into a sanctions, you know, standoff with Russia, because once you put sanctions on, very hard to take them off. And we need to keep our businesses open and keep lines open to Russia, which is part of Europe in a sense.
Well, thank you, Joshua Landis, as always, for sharing your historical perspective with us today.
It's always a pleasure. Thank you, Suzette.